Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
NFL Live on the air and ready to roll. Highlighting today's show, after a week of grading the offseason for all the teams in the AFC, it's time to open up the yearbook and find out who is most likely to succeed in 2020. Speaking of 2020, the year so far has been quite the challenge for all of us. We'll take a look at some players' goals and what their reality is now. And ahead of Sunday's big golfing match involving Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, we'll take a unique look at who might have the better skills all around. That means live sports on TV this weekend. Yay! As we say, welcome aboard NFL Live. Great to see our analysts for the next 60 minutes. Jeff Darlington, Mike Tannenbaum, Rob Ninkovich. I'm Susie Kalber. So guys, let's get going with the closest thing that we can get to a sure thing in 2020. That reigning Super Bowl MVP QB, Patrick Mahomes, will become the league's highest paid player. It's just a matter of when, and according to Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt, when could be soon. As he recently revealed, the team will start extension talks with Mahomes this summer.
Negotiations are something we'll be getting into this summer. But what he has said and what we've said, both sides, is he wants to be a Kansas City Chief for life. And that's our mentality as well. We want him to play his entire career in Kansas City. And that's what we're going to be shooting for.
Clearly getting this deal done is a no-brainer. Jeff, Russell Wilson is currently the highest paid player in the league in terms of average annual salary, earning $35 million per season. So what could this deal look like when it gets done?
Well, certainly, I think everybody is looking for that $40 million number to be the threshold for Patrick Mahomes. But what's so interesting about it is oftentimes when we talk about the top quarterback in the league, we talk about him resetting the quarterback market. But when you talk to people around the league, they say with Mahomes, he's not necessarily doing that because he is in his own world anyway. So a lot of GMs, when they go ahead with negotiations with their own quarterbacks, you almost don't even bring Mahomes into the conversation as the guy that's resetting the market because so few people can do what he does. Now, the one thing that's important here from speaking with people around this negotiation is that when we talk about Dak Prescott, we're talking about, is it going to be 5 years like the Cowboys want or 4 years like Mahomes wants? I don't think money is going to be the biggest contention, if contention is the right word when it comes to Mahomes and the Chiefs. Instead, it's going to be years as well. I could see the Chiefs wanting to lock up Mahomes for 7 years, where Mahomes says, hey, we got to shrink these years down, make sure the money's still high. But nobody really wants to lock themselves into something when the salary cap goes up so consistently each year, and then all of a sudden the contract is dated at the end. So I think that in the end, the conversation here, not contention, but if there is debate, it will be over the number of years, not necessarily the blank check that Mahomes will essentially be signing to himself.
Well, then, Mike, if we're going off what Jeff is saying, if you're the Chiefs GM, then does it even matter in terms of timetable going before or after Dak Prescott or Deshaun Watson? Does that even enter into it?
Not really, Susie, because, look, Patrick Mahomes is going to be at the highest end of the market, and he should be, right? 24 years old, Super Bowl winner, 5 playoff games. So if I'm Watson or if I'm Prescott, sure, I'd like to go after Mahomes. But at the end of the day, Patrick is going to be the last man standing in terms of average per year and guaranteed money. Jeff brings up an interesting point. If I was Kansas City, I want to do a 7, 8, 9 year deal, have that as fixed cost, and know that I have the quarterback set. So I could see years being the biggest source of contention. Now, with the cap maybe not going up as much because of what's going on with the pandemic, I think we may see the cap flatten over the next couple of years. Obviously, it's not going to come from players like Patrick Mahomes. The only other variable from his standpoint I got to worry about is if I take too much of the pie, do I lose a couple of players, most notably someone like Chris Jones, the really talented defensive tackle? So that may be a little bit of a discussion, too, about allocation and how much of the percentage of the cap he gets. But at the end of the day, this is a deal that has to get done for both sides.
Yeah, allocation, certainly a question mark. But, I mean, there's no doubt if anybody deserves it, he is the total package. MVP as a player, as a leader, as a person. So the flip side of what seems like an easy deal is this. Safety Jamal Adams and the Jets, who appear to be at a stalemate over a new contract. GM Joe Douglas said in February he wants Adams to be a Jet for life. And perhaps the lack of urgency is that Adams is under contract for two more years, and making things even more complicated could be that Adams basically plays everywhere. He has split time between safety, outside linebacker in their 3-4 scheme, and he's also spent time at cornerback and even inside linebacker. Mike, given all that, how do you even determine a salary?
Yeah, that's a great question, Susie. He is extremely valuable. Obviously, if I'm the GM of the team, I'm saying, hey, it's Eddie Jackson, $14 million a year, highest paid safety. And oh, by the way, Jamal, we actually have you for the next 3 years, $24 million when you think about what he's supposed to make this year, his fifth year tender, and the projected franchise tag the year after. If I'm Jamal Adams, I say three things. Zeke Elliott. Last year, same situation. Dallas controlled Zeke for 3 years. They tore it up and pay him at the high end of the market. This one, unlike Mahomes, is a lot more complicated, and I think it has a chance to be uglier as we go into the summer.
Mike, you know as well as anybody, you worked alongside with Adam Gase. We both know Adam pretty well. He's not exactly warm and fuzzy when it comes to his feelings with these guys. Like, he's going to tell these guys how much he values them. But when it comes down to negotiations, and I know it's Joe Douglas's job, just as it was your job in Miami, but he's going to still make his feelings known a little bit there and basically say, hey, are you in or are you out? So when you start to see these players get a little bit disgruntled in New York, that's part of the culture that they're trying to build there. Now, it's very difficult to build that culture when you're not necessarily showing the results on the field, as they do with the Patriots, for instance, but that's still not going to be a concession that Adam Gase ever makes. He's kind of a little bit rough on the edges when it comes to this kind of stuff. So if you're not the type who can handle maybe that more insensitive approach, it's going to make for a little bit tougher of a negotiations where some feelings do get hurt here.
Jeff, I'd like to add, I don't know what type of culture is here.
Go ahead, Rob.
I don't know what type of culture that they have in New York. Like, maybe he doesn't even want to be there. So with this contract situation going on, maybe he's saying to himself, okay, if they don't want to pay me, I play outside linebacker, I play safety, I'm the leader. You want me to do all these things, but when it comes down to it, you're not going to pay me what I deserve. That could be frustrating. And looking at that culture, maybe he doesn't want to be there. Maybe he wants to go somewhere else and create a different culture and be in a different environment. You could just look at the production. When you're in a position where the GM or anyone who's making the decision says, look, we don't know what your value is because you play so many positions, that doesn't make any sense. He's valuable to the team. They need a leader on defense. They need to create a culture. So why not do it with a guy that's been there and he's done it for many years?
Yeah, he is no doubt the leader on that team. So, Mike, tie this all together. We started with Mahomes. He's at one end of the spectrum. And then there's Adams right now. Somewhere in there is Dak Prescott as well. What do you do with all of this?
Yeah, well, Dak Prescott, right, is somewhere in the middle because every day he gets closer to becoming an unrestricted free agent who can't be franchised. We're about a year and a half away from that, and Dallas has no one to blame except themselves. It goes back to Zeke Elliott, Lyle Collins, and then trading for Amari Cooper without extending him. They put themselves in a really difficult position, and if he plays this year as a 26-year-old quarterback who's won 40 games as a starter, he'll play next year under the tag at roughly $37.5 million because it's a 20% increase if you go franchise tag to franchise tag. And then it's Kirk Cousins all over again. He gets to the market. He'll be young in his prime. So he has tremendous leverage. And unlike Adams, who has 3 years to go, Mahomes, who we all think should be a fairly easy deal to go to do in terms of being at the top of the market, this deal to me will be hard to get done because Jerry Jones doesn't have the leverage he wishes he had.
Okay, guys, while all these deals are being worked out, Tom Brady is simply working out. Brady and a handful of teammates have been taking reps together at a Tampa prep school. Brady has been photographed in pads and his new Bucs helmet, even taking snaps from center Ryan Jensen. Brady is fit with the Bucs and his new head coach, Bruce Arians, ideal to win now, according to GM Jason Light.
We have a head coach that, you know, be quite frank, isn't going to be here for the next 15, 20 years coaching the Buccaneers. So I think it was actually a perfect marriage. You've got two guys that got something to prove. They want to win. They want to win now. They got the same mindset. And, you know, getting Tom here, quite frankly, started with hiring Bruce last year. I don't know if that would have we would be in this situation right now without Bruce Arians as our head coach.
So, Rob, during the season, we have a lumberjack segment with you. I see you've got some realistic sound effects going on. What's happening in on the home front?
Well, I think someone's cutting a tree down. I think there's some nice. Trees being cut down. It's not myself. I'm not the one with the chainsaw. If you hear a chainsaw, it's my neighbors. Don't mind me. But anyway,
yeah.
Back to the Brady stuff.
Yes.
Look, it's all about it's all about chemistry right now. So he's trying to build chemistry with a new team. There's a little bit of humidity down there. It's going to be hot for him, but I think he'll be all right with that. He stays hydrated. But when it comes to chemistry and having his receivers understand where he wants them to be, it just takes reps. It takes time. So I think you're just seeing those guys take advantage of the time that they have. They're not able to come together with OTAs and minicamps. So why not have some type of get together to where they can work on those things that they can't work on right now? And then you look at Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Look, you're not going to go to Tom Brady and you're not going to tell him this is what I want to run. You're going to say, what do you like here? I got three plays, red zone. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be here, here, here? You don't like it? All right. What do you think? So you try to use all his input, the 20 years of football that he knows, the knowledge, and you try to use that with the things you know, and you bring them together, and you hope that you guys have, you know, a spectacular offense.
Well, Nick, it's funny because that's actually what I think that Brady really likes the idea about in Tampa. One of the reasons that he kind of wanted to go do something different and wanted to find a place like Tampa is because he wanted to be more collaborative when it came to exactly what you're talking about. And Bruce Arians all same way. But what's especially interesting is that Cameron Brate, the tight end, telling Sirius that, hey, it's been kind of weird because we're the ones teaching Tom Brady the verbiage. When they decided to go into this together, basically Arians was kind of like, hey, like, you can learn my offense or you can try to teach your offense to all these young players. And it just made more sense, Brady being one of the smartest players to ever play the game, to learn that offense. And then they can progress from there when they can finally get together and create sort of that hybrid Bruce and Tom show, which I think will be extremely entertaining. But for right now, I think Brady's doing the perfect thing, which is to just digest everything that Arians does and then fold that into what is new.
You know, and since Jason Light refers to this as perfect marriage, you know, the whole idea of relating football relationships to marriage can get a little tricky. Jeff, I understand you found that out on NFL Live on Wednesday. Let's listen.
There's, you know, certain... I don't know. It's just a weird kind of dynamic in the NFL. It's not the same as marriage. It's not like I'm like flirting with Giselle in front of my wife to see if like that works out and I go that way. Like, it's just not the same thing. Like the NFL and the quarterback.
I got
the business
nothing for
model,
that.
It's just a very different situation.
What the heck were you trying
to
say?
Can we get some context?
Please.
Can we get context here? We can't run the whole bite. I mean, all I'm saying is that the NFL is a business where you can flirt with people and it might not mean, you know, a transgression. It's not the same thing. I didn't know we were going to repeat this, you know? All of a sudden we're going to make this live longer. It's a great analogy. I don't know what the problem is.
And you're in the doghouse no matter how we slice it. Good luck.
Good thing my wife does NFL Live.
All right, ahead on NFL Live. We graded the AFC all week long, so today we're handing out the best off-season superlatives from around the conference. Which team do the guys believe is most likely to drop out of the playoffs? Find out after the break. Plus, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are facing off on the golf course on Sunday. We won't be seeing any wobbly passes, but we'll be hearing a lot of trash talk.
I actually thought I was going to be Tiger's partner, but then Peyton's dad called and switched the teams.
NFL Live is brought to you by Disney Plus. All of your favorites, all in one place. Sign up today.
This week, our NFL Live analysts, gave each AFC team a letter grade on their offseason so far. The Bengals, Browns, Dolphins, and Ravens landed on our honor roll. Solid grades across the AFC North. But on the other hand, the Titans, Texans, and Patriots were given C minuses. Our team was not pleased with how Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick handled things. And keep in mind, they have quite a bit of influence in their team's personnel decisions. To put a bow on the whole process, today, and in honor of virtual graduations happening everywhere, we award a variety of superlatives. Mike, you get going here. Who is the class valedictorian, or in other words, who put together the smartest roster?
Susie, it's the Tennessee Titans, and I'll give you a couple reasons. Two on the pro side, two in the draft. Starting with the draft, first-round pick Isaiah Wilson. He's going to come in. He's going to start a right tackle for Jack Conklin. They were disciplined not to overpay Conklin. Second round, they get Christian Fulton. Outstanding value. Should come in and play right away as a draft choice. And then you look at what they did. Quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. They stayed disciplined. They didn't chase Tom Brady, someone that Mike Vrabel knew very well. They have Ryan Tannehill, who took him to the championship game a year ago at a reasonable contract for the next 5 years. And then Derrick Henry, running back, as we've seen, has been a really dicey position to pay around the league. Devontae Freeman, David Johnson, Todd Gurley signed big extensions. They're no longer with their teams. Derrick Henry, they franchise. Hopefully they'll get something done. But now they don't have to overpay him, and they're dealing from a position of strength. So I think they went 4-for-4 on all significant decisions.
Sounds good. Next superlative, Rob, you've got this one. Who would you say gets cutest couple? Yeah, it really is the perfect match.
I'm going Frank Wright and Philip Rivers. They look like a nice couple coming together. You know, every now and then you see Phil might have a little, you know, tear running down his face. But Frank, look, the guy understands offense. He played in the NFL. He played in the league. Hopefully they could come together and the Colts can be in a spot where I thought last year they'd be able to be at, but it just didn't happen. So these guys have a history together. Sometimes when you're together in a relationship, you need a little time apart. You come back together, makes it a cute couple.
How about most likely to have a breakout season? Jeff, you take this one.
I have done everything to put them in a situation these past few years, almost like they've been in high school, getting ready for the real world. And it really does feel like that for the Bills, that they're on the cusp of really taking this to the next level. And I think that what Brandon, the general manager, has done this offseason, adding the number one wide receiver in Stephon Diggs, bolstering their third-ranked defense from 2019 with a bunch of additions in free agency. What they have done the past several years has been building to this point. Now, not only do you have a young crop that has grown together, you're adding those veteran pieces. I feel like, especially given the vulnerability of the Patriots this season, the Bills are the most primed to potentially make a rise in the AFC East.
Mike, sometimes the journey doesn't go as planned. Who will be the dropout, you know, most likely to drop out of the playoffs?
Houston Texans, and they lost two good players, one on each side of the ball, Susie. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins on offense. Not only was he a prolific receiver in terms of his production, but every time he was on the field, he got double teamed. So now all these other players are going to see a lot more coverage. That's going to hurt their offense. And defensively, DJ Reader, very underrated defensive lineman they lost. Key player for them. JJ Watt's getting older. I just see this is a team in decline. We already talked about Phillip Rivers, Rob did. And we talked about Tennessee. I see Houston not making the playoffs this year.
Rob, somehow you get all the cutesy ones. Who would you say is the biggest flirt?
I mean, you got to go with the Cleveland Browns, right? They look every single year. Last year, they're overloaded. You would think like this is the year. It's time. They're coming back. You got Landry, OBJ, Baker Mayfield. They keep flirting with us, but they're not producing. So can they please get it together this year? Bring all the personalities together, all the talk. Just don't do it anymore. Stop flirting with us. Go out there and win some football games. Please, you have the talent. Now let's go see it. Let's make it happen.
Nick, I want to know what your superlative was in high school. Were you cutest couple or were you biggest? Because there's no way that you weren't one of those.
I was most likely to cut down trees for a living. That's what it was.
Nice. The lumberjack.
Now you can hire people to do it for you.
All right, finally, Jeff, you've got the last one
here.
Who do you believe is the most likely to succeed, you know, Super Bowl bound?
Yeah, I mean, you can't dismiss the Kansas City Chiefs at this point. They are the cream of the crop when it comes to the NFL. What they did this past year was basically graduating, again, stealing the pun, from the year before when they just got to the edge. And now all of a sudden you look at them and they pick up this great running back in the first round and all of a sudden they continue to bolster their roster. This will probably be the last year before things get really complicated for the Chiefs once you add that Mahomes contract in the mix. Not saying they won't succeed, but it becomes more difficult. This year, though, they are the most likely to succeed. They are the most likely to go back-to-back. And I feel with this music in my ear, I just feel inspired right now. I mean, yes. It's just inspiring.
And you can, no doubt, you can see Mahomes as the prom king. Last season, passed Brady as the youngest Super Bowl MVP. Who knows how he's going to top that? Ahead, from AFC superlatives to the greatest of all time, Brady, Phil, Tiger, and Manning taking the debate to the golf course to settle who's the GOAT. We are picking who we think will win. And Tom Brady has a new home for the first time in 20 years, but as you may have heard, he is still trying to find his way around.
And then I saw the doorknob turning. I remember sitting there going, oh my God, somebody's coming into my house. And I just kind of froze. I was like, oh my God, Tom Brady is in my freaking house right now.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Sunday, we premiere part one of our 30 for 30 film about Lance Armstrong, a fascinating, revealing, comprehensive chronicle about one of the most inspirational and then infamous athletes of all time. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. The uncensored version is on ESPN and the ESPN app, while the edited form, mature language version, is on ESPN2. This week, Tom Brady was spotted holding workouts with his new Bucks teammates for the first time. Major change of scenery after the 6-time Super Bowl champ shocked the NFL in free agency. After 20 seasons with the Patriots, life in the greater Boston area had become quite familiar for Tom Brady. But now that TB has moved to TV, he has quickly learned he's not in Boston anymore.
And now, a message from Tampa Mayor Jane Castor.
Greetings to the fine people of Tampa Bay. The last few months have been an especially difficult and strenuous time on our country and our city. However, one bright spot has been the decision of 6-time Super Bowl champion and the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, to continue his football career in our great city.
I'm so happy to be in Tampa Bay, and I wanted to say thank you guys for welcoming me and my family into your community with open arms. I'm so excited to be a Buck.
Adjusting to a new home can be challenging, but as many of you also may have heard, Tom has been making himself quite at home here in Tampa.
My name is Paul Dial. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation for the City of Tampa. Due to the coronavirus, the parks have been closed in the City of Tampa. We have had staff that have gone out to the different parks to make the public aware and to ask for their cooperation and assistance during this time. Around the 3rd of April, one of our park staff was making their rounds and came by actually by this park. When they did, they saw a couple of individuals that were out doing some exercise drills, football drills. When she gradually got out to them, she just simply said to them,
"Hi guys, I'm sorry, but the park is closed at this time." Probably about halfway through the conversation, I realized, hey, this is Tom Brady I'm talking with here. He instantly said, "Sorry, no problem, we weren't aware of that." They couldn't have been more cooperative and polite. They then packed up their equipment and left the park.
As if trespassing wasn't enough, Tom continued with a home invasion.
My name is David Kramer. I live in Tampa, Florida, and Tom Brady accidentally walked into my house. My neighbor is Byron Leftwich. He's the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was a Tuesday on the 7th of April. I normally would lock my door, but I was moving some things that day, so it was just open. I was sitting at my computer right here at this island right here. Next thing you know, I just kind of look and I see at the front door behind me, I see this large shadow. And then I saw the doorknob turning. And I remember sitting there going, oh my God, somebody's coming into my house. And I just kind of froze. I see this tall guy walk in with a baseball hat on. And he had a bag or two on his shoulders. And he just dropped the bags down like he was going to stay for a while. Like he kind of owned the place, which was funny. And then he just kind of looked up at me and he's like, hey man, what's going on? And I was like, sarcastically, I don't know, man, you tell me. What are you doing in my freaking house? And then he got this very puzzled look on his face. And he goes, am I in the wrong house? And I said, you know, I think you are, but you look familiar. Where are you supposed to be? And he said, I'm supposed to be at Byron's house. And right at that moment when he said that, I was like, oh my God, Tom Brady is in my freaking house right now. Tom Brady, are you kidding me? Before I knew it, he was grabbing his bags and he said, I'm so sorry, sir. I'm so sorry. And he just bolted. I started thinking about all the things that could have gone like so wrong. If I had a gun, what if I shot Tom Brady? I mean, could you imagine that? I can't even imagine that. And Tom, this will all go away, I promise.
So, Tom, since this was clearly all a big misunderstanding, I'm willing to sign this pardon on one condition. You make sure that Lombardi Trophy does not leave this city come next February, because we are all thrilled to have you here. And if you do that, then we can talk about changing the name to Tampa Bay. Right, Dessa?
Dessa... Brady has had a good sense of humor regarding the two mix-ups, tweeting in late April regarding these stories going public, quote, trespassing in parks, breaking and entering, just making myself at home in Tampa Bay, end quote. One thing we know for sure, Brady flipped the script in 2020. Coming up, what else has gotten weird this year? We continue our look back at some of the most memorable Monday Night Football games with Week 5 from the 2015 season. Steelers-Chargers at Qualcomm Stadium, Michael Vick's last full game, and it came down to the final play. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app. More Steelers, new on NFL Live from the Steelers Director of Communications. The Steelers held back 50% of the normal ticket inventory when individual game tickets went on sale today for the 2020 season. We are being proactive with these limited amount of tickets as we are preparing for possible social distancing scenarios at Heinz Field this year. Well, that's certainly one scenario. One of the NFL's top defenders addressed another.
You need fans to play a game. I don't see how you could play a game without no fans. I feel like that take out the excitement and the fun out the game, kind of. You know, you make a big play, it's just you make a big play. You know, I feel like the fans would pick you up. The fans would make the game exciting. The fans would give you that extra juice when you're tired and fatigued. You know, when you make that big play, you hear 80,000 fans going crazy. That just pump you up. If you don't have that in a game, I feel like, you know, I think that just take the fun out of it, you know. You kind of, without no fans, I don't even see how that can be possible. Just from my point of view, it's just no excitement. It's just, it wouldn't be fun to me.
And Aaron showing off how good a shape he is in. Now, if you haven't seen it on Twitter or Instagram, My Plans versus 2020 has picked up lots of steam on social media. It represents the big plans that we made and how many of them were sidetracked by a worldwide pandemic. Rob, you take the first one here, and we'll continue with what Aaron was talking about. So plans, fans packing the stands, or 2020, maybe not. Do you agree with Donald?
It's going to be weird. Don't get me wrong. But I can guarantee this. If you're a young quarterback and you're going into a stadium like the Superdome and there's no fans in there, that's working to your favor. If you're working on your silent cadence and your offense can't function if there's too much noise, when you're going into an environment where everyone can hear each other, defensively, it makes it easier if you're playing in the Superdome or a loud stadium. And offensively, it makes it a lot easier. So everyone's on the same page. And at the end of the day, when you're playing in a loud stadium, it's all about communication. It's being able to bark out, you know, what coverage you're in, where you're supposed to be offensively, what route you want run, when's the ball going to be hiked. So that changes the whole dynamic of the game when there's no fans. So if you're a young quarterback or an offense and you're Tom Brady going to the Superdome, you're like, hey, no fans. It's great. I can tell everybody where I want them, and I can tell them that easily. I don't need to use signals. I don't need to do all this stuff. I can just tell them. So it's going to be different. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
How about a silent Seattle? What would that be like? Right, we spoke about contracts earlier in the show. Dak Prescott still waiting on his, you know, before that July 15th deadline. So Dak's plans, major money, 2020 plans, not so fast. Jerry's got something to say about that. Jeff, how's 2020 looking to shape up for the Cowboys quarterback?
I think it's going to be just fine. And ultimately, you know, these first, let's say, 7 months and 15 days or 6 months and 15 days really don't matter that much. And that's kind of the beauty of where Dak Prescott is. July 15th remains the deadline for guys to get long-term contracts that are placed under the franchise tag for this year. That is the date we should all be focused on. I know we're going to have these contentious debates about what it all means, but really, until July 15th, none of it matters. That's the way negotiations always work. That's the way it will work this time. So at least in the case of Dak Prescott, 2020 is going to get, I think, a whole lot better.
And then how about Cam Newton? His plans, no doubt, he expected to be a starting quarterback. 2020's plans, still waiting for a team. Mike, what do you see happening?
You know, Susie, the bad news is things haven't worked out well for him. The good news is I think a great opportunity in Pittsburgh is sitting right there for him and the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger's 38 years old, coming off of a major elbow surgery. Cam Newton didn't play much last year, obviously needs to be healthy. If he is, I think it sets up perfectly. Mason Rudolph not good enough. Delvin Hodges not good enough. They traded Josh Dobbs a year ago. Bring in Cam Newton, and now you have your future quarterback without having to give up a draft choice and spend a year to rehab, get to know the offense. So 2020 hasn't been great so far, but boy, that could be a great future. Newton and the Steelers.
The Dolphins had a plan at quarterback, and it began in the draft. They got their guy, Tua Tagovailoa. But in 2020, Fitzmagic says he still wants to compete. Rob, does he have a shot?
Hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he is the man right now. He's going to be the starting quarterback. There is no reason for Miami to push Tua into a position where, number one, coming back from a hip injury, we all know that it was a serious injury. There's no reason to push him into the position of being the starter. You have Ryan Fitzpatrick, you have Chan Gailey, you have a relationship there to where they've worked together. So let Tua sit behind a veteran and let him learn.
And finally, we have a bonus, My Plan or 2020. Congratulations to ESPN's Diana Rossini, who had her own version of the My Plan versus 2020 meme with some exciting news. Diana got engaged. So congratulations to Diana and Kevin. Still coming on NFL Live, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are two of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. But who has the edge when they hit the links?
Tournament had to be in Florida. You know, after Tom's B&E arrest, Tiger and I talked to the sheriff in Tampa. He's going to be allowed to go to Palm Beach.
For this, on Sunday, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson renew their rivalry with The Match, Champions for Charity. And this time, they're bringing NFL star power with them. Woods will team with Peyton Manning, Mickelson with Tom Brady, in a match to benefit coronavirus relief charities. So let's review the rivalry on the football side. Brady versus Manning really began in the AFC Championship in 2003. It was a snowy one in Foxborough between Brady's sole touchdown and Vinatieri's five field goals. The Pats moved on to secure their second Super Bowl. Then in 2004, a divisional playoff game, Brady and the Patriots dominated another snow game with nearly 38 minutes of possession, and Tom even managed to score a rushing touchdown. But in 2006, Manning finally got his revenge. Down 21-3 midway through the second quarter, Peyton brought the Colts back in a shootout. They went on to beat the Bears and secure Manning's first ring. Then in 2009, Indy moved to 9-0 in dramatic fashion. Belichick made that controversial call to go for it on 4th-and-2, and Peyton made him pay for it with a dime to Reggie Wayne with 13 seconds to go. Flash forward to Manning's first year in Denver. It was Brady's turn to lead the comeback. Down 24-0 at the half, Brady led five straight scoring drives, capped off by a win in OT. Then in 2015, their final showdown came in the AFC Championship. The Broncos barely got the victory, but they went on to win Super Bowl 50. And now, cue the trash talk.
For me, I think that excellence is winning.
It's all about winning games.
I hate to lose so much.
I want to go out and prove it every day.
You know that it's game on.
We've had a great 20-year battle.
Yeah, I think playing someone 17 times is pretty cool, especially someone as great as him.
Expect anything different?
We've always had a mutual respect over the years.
It's been a great honor and privilege to have competed against him that many times.
He's one of the greatest players to ever pick up a golf club.
Typical Peyton Manning making me earn it.
It's on now. It's on.
Okay, so that wasn't trash talk, but it was pretty inspiring, and we know that this proves to be highly entertaining this Sunday. Since this is an NFL show, we figured we translate their football play to their golf game. And Rob, we'll start here with you. Who's got the better driver in the bag? You know, the big arm to make the long passes.
Look, years ago, I'm going with Tom. You know, he might be a mid-range guy these days. He might not have such a big-time driver. But I'm going to have to go with Tom. We all know at the end there, Manning had a hard time with the old driver. Here we go, Tom Brady back in the day with the man, Randy Moss. He's about to throw a bomb here. Look where he's at. He's on the 25-yard line, 26, steps into it, deep down the sideline to find his man, Randy Moss. Yes, granted, I know this was a few years back. Nowadays, he might have to take another step forward, maybe crow hop into that thing, but he's still got it. And now you got Peyton here, you know, going into the sideline. I wouldn't say that this is like, you know, a bomb. See where he's at. He's on the 20. He's going to step into it, take a little shot, throws it to the sideline, goes up, gets it. So I'm going to have to go with my guy Tom on the driver, but he might need a little bit more oomph into that throw these days at 42 years old.
Rob, Manning and Brady rank second and third in terms of 40-yard passing touchdowns since the merger in 1970. They're even ahead of the Hall of Fame gunslinger himself, Brett Favre. Mike, what about the short game or the red zone?
Yeah, those two areas of the field, don't they translate really well between the tight windows of the red zone and the short game? So let's start with Tom Brady here. Unfortunately, Susie, I've been on the receiving ends of both these guys being productive in the red zone. So here's Tom Brady throwing it back shoulder to Chris Hogan for a touchdown. That should translate well for their match upcoming on Sunday. Great throw, great placement here. Touchdown for New England. Like I said, unfortunately, I've been on the receiving end of that way too many times in my career.
Gotta love the animation.
And then here's Peyton Manning. Same thing, going to the back of the end zone here. Great touch, great placement. And as a retired player, I would give the slight edge in the short game to Pete, because he has a little bit more time to work on his short game right now than Tom Brady does.
Their numbers are so impressive. They both have a completion percentage of 59%, and while Brady has the edge when it comes to touchdowns, both of their QB ratings hover around the 100 mark when down in enemy territory. Jeff, who would you relate to as most clutch in the end, the 18 pole?
Well, look, both of these guys with plenty of clutch moments throughout their career, but when against each other, it made it especially fun. Now, if you look at Tom Brady here, no doubt about it, he's got moments like this one after another, looks over to the right, and he sees his guy, Julian Edelman, by the way. Happy birthday, Julian Edelman, 33 years old. This was a go-ahead touchdown in a game versus the Broncos. Patriots were losing 24-0 at halftime back in 2013. Great score by Edelman there. Now, Peyton Manning, though, the funny thing about this, first of all, this set up a game-winning touchdown versus the Patriots in the 2006 AFC Championship game. AFC Championship game was actually where Manning made his money against Brady. They met four times in that AFC Championship game, and Manning actually won three of those. So Broncos defense might have had a little something to do with that as well late in his career. But no doubt about it, both guys with plenty of clutch moments. I got to say, though, the fact that Manning won three of four in the AFC Championship game, probably in that regard, goes to Manning.
The AFC has been represented in the Super Bowl by a Brady or Manning team in 13 of the last 19 seasons. That is incredible. Brady, though, has been named Super Bowl MVP four times, which is an NFL record. Joe Montana is the only other player to even get three. It's time to pick a winner this Sunday. Is it Tiger and Manning or Phil and Brady? So, Rob, you're going to go first, so tell us who you think is going to win and why.
Well, let's just put it this way. If I didn't pick Tom, I probably would get a phone call. He might yell at me. So I'm going with Tom. I think that matchup of Brady and Phil together, I mean, come on. How can they lose? They're two GOATs, greatest of all time. Great. I know Tiger's the best. I know Manning's really good. They practice a lot, but I gotta go with Brady. I gotta go with Brady.
Yeah, I agree with Rob. I gotta go with Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson. And maybe for me, I don't know, 20, 25 years of losing to Brady, I'm just used to seeing Tom Brady come out on top. And it should be a great event. Very competitive aspect. All four guys very competitive. So should be a lot of fun to watch, but I'm going with Brady and Mickelson.
Well, deep on this one, I actually talked to a former number one PGA in the world, Justin Thomas, to find out what exactly Tom's game is like. They've played together. You know what JT says? He says that Tom is great at putting. He's got a really strong drive. Goes sideways a little bit. And that's what makes me a little nervous. But we'll see. I'm still going to go Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson here.
Here's my reason for going against all of you. Peyton is retired. More time to practice. I like Tiger over Phil, too.